FindSelf.com.
Demand all over the world. She is the publisher of the Solari Report. I'm talking about Catherine Austin Fitz. Catherine Austin Fitz, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Greg. It's great to see you.
That was a nice, clean little intro, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah.
That's just a smidgen of your resume. I know I want to talk about your Solari Report at the end, but I want to start with the Great Reset. You know, the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles, has been on talking about we need to have a reset. You know, he's with the Davos crowd,
right,
and all that. What we have going on here with the banks, and that no reserves are now needed at the banks.
Right.
And then I know you have an update on the missing money. So much and so little time, but let's start with the missing money. It was $21 trillion that Dr. Mark Skidmore and his team came up with, and you teamed up with him, and he got the idea from you, obviously, and you've teamed up with him, and you've published a lot of material and stored the
right
data to prove the $21 missing trillion from Department of Defense and the Housing and Urban Development, and it went up from 98 to 2015, and then everything went dark with a new
right
rule change, FASB 56. Everything's
right
a national security issue. So where are we with the missing money? People like Rob Kirby and plenty of other people say, well, you can't account for 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. There's a lot more than what you're saying. It's only two departments. Is it $21 trillion or is it way more?
So there's no way to know. I believe it's more, but there's no way to know. Dr. Skidmore, just if you come to Solari.com, we just published a new public report with Dr. Skidmore, and he's published a new update that talks about two things, Greg. One is he did FOIAs in the last year when $6.5 trillion went missing in the last year of Obama. There were 170 transactions, according to the Army's financial statements, that accounted for over $2 trillion of that. And so Dr. Skidmore put in a Freedom of Information Act request and FOIA'd to try and get those documents and an explanation. And so the update that he just did, which is at missingmoney.solari.com, or you can link to it from the special report at solari.com, he gives an update and basically says the information they gave us was not useful. We couldn't tell very much. The second thing is he's taken a look at the redemptions and rollovers in the Treasury market. And what he's saying is if you look at the redemptions, they're far greater than what you need to roll over what is now $26 trillion of debt. At the time, it was $21 trillion. And what he's saying is, you know, it looks to us, if you look at the rollovers, it's the kind of rollovers you would need to hold up $90 trillion. Now, if you were going to steal $21 trillion, one logical way to do it is with off-sheet treasuries or mortgage-backed securities, which is why if you come to Solari on the money and market commentaries, we've been following what the Fed's doing very closely, because clearly, you know, if there's $21 trillion missing and all these shenanigans going on, then the question is, how is it being financed and what does that mean to the market? So check out the latest update. Now, here's the important thing to understand. FASB 56 was adopted in October 2018 when everybody was paying attention to the, you know, the teenage sexcapades of the nominee for the Supreme Court. So that was adopted. And then subsequent to that, we see the first meeting of the central bankers in Jackson Hole, which is August 2019. So that's the first meeting of all the central bankers at Jackson Hole after FASB 56 is adopted. And what we now know, thanks to Pam and Russ Martins of Wall Street on Parade, they just published it this week or late last week, the central bankers came together. You had a Swiss central banker, Stanley Fischer, some other people now who are at BlackRock, proposed a plan called Going Direct. It was apparently adopted, and it was adopted at the same time that Mark Carney from the Bank of England, governor of the Bank of England, came out and did an interview at Jackson Hole and saying, you know, the world needs a global mechanism. The dollar's not working, and we need to shift to a global mechanism. Now, one of my questions, because I've been writing State of Our Currency, and I've been spending a lot of time on this, is the push for a global mechanism coming from the BRICS, or is it coming from Mr. Global, or is it coming from the group that gathered at Jackson Hole? And the message clearly is it's coming from the group that gathered at Jackson Hole, as well as the BRICS. It's what they want too. And so basically what you've seen is the convergence of forces to say, okay, let's shift the governance of the global currency into new global mechanisms. Now, I have a lot of thoughts about what that looks like and what that means, but clearly a decision was made to just go ahead and do it. And what do we see in September? We see in September the Fed move to intervene in the repo market. Since then, if you look at the last 12 months, M1 is up by 21%, M2 is up by over 30%, and we're watching massive programs of literally the Fed buying the market. As that happens, the World Economic Forum website comes out and announces the Great Reset, which they describe in a very different way than the finances, but it's sort of the marketing for the non-financial people of exactly what's going on. And so what we're seeing is a reengineering of the global financial system and governance system on the just do it method. And of course, a very important part of that is we see a lot of smart money get out of the market in the top in January and February, and then March, a push used to basically use police powers created through the healthcare system to shut down a huge part of the independent economy globally. So small business, small farms shut down across the board, throwing both the emerging markets and many small business into debt traps. So we are watching the mother of all debt entrapments going on globally, and that means we're in for a very radical reengineering. And of course, that's what we're seeing in the US. I mean, it's very interesting. If you come into Solari, we have a tracker where we're tracking the COVID deaths by state and party affiliations of the governors and mayors. And one of the things you can see, you have 37 Fed locations of banks and branches across the country. Guess how many of them had violent protests?
None. I mean, none.
33.
Wait. Say that again.
33. If you map out all the cities that have a Fed bank, a Fed branch, or the headquarters for the Fed Board of Governors, you have 37 locations. You have 12 banks. You have 24 branches and one board headquarters. 33 of those locations had violent protests.
You think the Fed is behind this?
Well, indirectly or directly, absolutely the Fed is behind this. You know, the central bankers got together and said, okay, we're going to begin the global reset. You know, we're calling it Go Direct. They launch a plan. BlackRock has now been hired by three of the central banks. They've been hired by Canada, Sweden, and the United States. The conflicts of interest are massive. But you're talking about a fundamental reengineering. Now, I'll give you my theory on what the healthcare police powers are all about. And that is, if you are going to reengineer the global currency system, what they want to do is they don't want to go to a new currency system. They want to go to a system where 7 billion people around the planet are literally integrated into the cloud and can operate with an all-digital system that is the equivalent of a credit on a company store. It's a control system. And if you look at what they're talking about putting into these injections or doing with them, you know, you're basically talking about a slavery system. You're talking about integrating into people's bodies. And I always tell people, Bill Gates put an operating system on your computer that gave somebody a backdoor and made you update it constantly, and the excuse was there's a new virus. Well, they're gonna play the same game with your bodies, because if you can get brain-machine interface into a human body, or, you know, a tattoo on a human body, it's part of the quantum dot tattoos, and integrate them into the JEDI and other clouds at the U.S. government, then you can cut out all the state and local middlemen. You can cut out a lot of overhead and basically have everybody, you know, on the system. And that's why I keep saying crypto is not a currency. It's the end of currencies. But you're talking about an all digital system where they can turn your money off and on. You know what this is called. You're a Christian. It's called the mark of the beast. That's what they're trying to do here. They're trying to extend the life of the dollar, build a global mechanism to manage the sort of the financial system, so shift it more out of the United States, and then essentially hook everybody up into the cloud.
How do you fight this? I mean, can you decline the mark of the beast? I mean, I guess you can, because you have a choice.
Go ahead. Well, here's the thing: what you have to do is you have to fight vaccine mandates. Because what I've said, I wrote an article called The Injection Fraud, which you just mentioned. What I said is these are not vaccines. Vaccine under the laws of medicine, and if you look at what they're talking about putting into some of these things, and this is very experimental, but you have nanoparticles, nanotechnology, you have things that alter your gene. These things are very experimental, and they're talking about using them without animal trials or the appropriate kind of trial. You know, normal trials, it would take you 2 years. Now, they've tried for many, many years to come up with a vaccine for coronavirus. They've never been able to do it. So if you look, I think one of the reasons they want contact tracing is so that they can deal with all the death, disability, and sort of sickness that's going to come from, you know, injecting bio waste into human bodies. You know, one of the things that's in this is aborted fetal tissue. So you've got aborted fetal tissue, you've got heavy metals, you've got the history of these injections is very, very ugly. And it's one of the reasons 54% of the children in America have chronic disease, because of all the sort of foreign matter that's been going into our veins from this stuff. So what I said in the injection fraud is this is not medicine. You know, a surveillance tracker is not medicine. I mean, what Bill Gates is proposing, to put the equivalent of a Microsoft operating system in your body that can be hooked up to their cloud, and so you can be hooked up to the AI, and all that data can make the AI very, very smart, including teaching robots how to do your job. So this is a very dystopian vision of the future, but make no mistake about it, if you could implement this vision, there are trillions of dollars to be made implementing this vision. So if you look at the new system is very much what some people call a transhumanist system, but it's not a new currency, it's not a cryptocurrency, it's not a digital currency, it's a credit system where they can cut you off centrally. What if you look at the police powers they're suggesting under the rubric and excuse of healthcare, they're talking about, you know, you can't go to the store unless you let us inject you with these mystery agreements. You can't work unless you do. You can't do this. You can't do that. Do you know what contact tracing is? Have you?
Yeah, with smartphones. They use your
smartphone. They're talking with contact tracing, hiring, you know, tens of thousands of contact tracers who can come into your home and force you to be tested. And if they find you positive, now remember, many of these tests have 50 to 80% false positives, they can quarantine you. And they reserve the right to take people out of your home and take them to government or private camps separately. So they're asserting the right to come into your home and take your children. So I come in, I test you, I say you're positive with tests which are totally unreliable. And almost everybody has coronavirus in their bodies and we're asymptomatic. It's like saying we have cells, you know. So you're talking about creating police powers that are going to give you very tyrannical central controls. Way, you know, this is ripping up the Constitution to an exponential degree.
Where does Donald Trump fit in?
Donald Trump, as far as I can tell, is playing along. Now, it's interesting. Donald Trump resisted shutting down the economy, but then he went ahead and did it. And Donald Trump, who's resisted vaccine mandates, proceeded after sort of Bill Gates and Fauci's credibility was destroyed for a very good reason on many different points. Donald Trump promoted and started a program called Operation Warp Speed. And Operation Warp Speed is being run by the former head of research from GlaxoSmithKline, who's a bioelectronics expert. And according to the Financial Times, is one of the leaders on brain-machine interface. Now, he's got Operation Warp Speed set up to coordinate with the Department of Defense, and he's arranged for the Department of Defense, I think, to buy, I think it's $600 million. It's basically two syringes for the whole population set up with digital coding so that they can basically, you know, put in a database who got what vaccine, et cetera. And frankly, if you look at how that's all organized and set up, you know, Trump has said, well, it's for people who want the vaccine. If you look at the effort to get mandates state by state by state and, you know, basically use the health code and, you know, the pretext of a flu defined as a pandemic to radically increase police, central police powers, you know, I think we're talking about the greatest experiment. Basically, this is non-consensual human experimentation of taking nanotechnology, gene editing, gene altering materials, heavy metals, bio waste, aborted fetals, and basically experimenting, injecting it into millions, if not billions, of people. I mean, this is a serious violation of the Nuremberg Code and the Nuremberg Principles.
Well, he's actually stated, he's kind of cryptic about this. He's actually said that, well, some people may not want to get this. Are some people going to just be able to turn this down? Say, yeah, no, you're not injecting it in me.
Here's the problem. You have the fight in the campaign is not a fight over who runs the White House. The fight in the campaign is a fight over the spigot. And what you have to understand about everything that's going on right now between our taxes and our pension funds, we're financing this. And unfortunately, you know, I've talked a lot on the Salier Report about entrainment technology and the propaganda on the media, but you have a combination of propaganda and entrainment that has persuaded a great, you know, at least 40 or 50% of Americans that these injections are okay.
Yeah. I tell you who's going to take that. I mean, it's terrible. What we have in the country passing for media is awful. From local to our local newspaper, we have the Greensboro News and Record Fish Wrap, which is a Marxist propaganda tool, all the way up to NBC trying to shut off the Federalist.
Well, but here's the thing. If you look at how the money works, everyone in the system is kind of following their financial incentives. And unfortunately, you have a lot of people who believe, you know, oh dear God, if I'm just good, they'll leave me alone. And the reality is what many people don't understand, the middle of the road is going away. And so let's look at this from the billionaire's point of view.
Wait, say that again. Because the middle of the road is going away. What does that mean?
So you have two choices. One is freedom, one is slavery. And everybody's gonna have to choose. There's no kind of navigating around it or getting around. You know, I told you earlier, I had one subscriber ask me, you know, should I do real estate or precious metals? And I said, look, if you don't have an army, it doesn't matter where your assets are, you're going to lose them. You know, if you don't have an army to protect them, that's what you have to understand. There's no getting around this, wiggling around this. They're basically coming to steal all your assets. If you look at the even Jim Cramer said this is the greatest wealth transfer in the history, you know, of our civilization. Basically, what they just did was they shut down all small business and almost all small firms and ranches, and proceeded to let the large corporations scarf up all that market share. And that's how they can, you know, expand M2 by 31%. Because if you shut down Main Street, you know, that's very deflationary, and it offsets the inflation of all the money you're printing and giving to your friends. So you're talking, if you look at the play of printing the money and engineering asset bubbles and the variety of things you're doing with it, at the same time, you're throwing all small business and independent business into a debt trap. There's just a great article in Financial Times about KKR and some of the other private equity firms who've been, you know, sort of wanting to buy certain businesses for a long time. Well, they've all just gotten slammed down and they're picking up equity pieces, you know, for pennies on the dollar. It's exactly what they did in Asia in 1997 when they crashed Asia. So this is an old game.
So the people that made out the best are people that didn't have debt and people could take the hit and didn't have to sell their assets at fire sale prices.
They stockpiled cash and they didn't have debt. So if you have a strong balance sheet, you have lots of real assets and you have real big cash positions, you're in a position to sort of navigate this and take advantage of it.
So cash,
I will bet you a dollar, Greg, that when they came out of Jackson Hole with the Go Direct plan, they had KKR and all those folks lined up. You know, and they had 6 months to get ready to figure out how they were going to buy everything. I mean, BlackRock was running the, you know, was designing and running the plan, right?
Yeah. Well, I've been telling people for years, get out of debt, be robust, be strong, get out of debt. Don't be all leveraged up. I mean, it said this is a sexy plan. You can't make tons of money doing this, but you can take a frying pan in the face. And I had people after this big stock market takedown, sucked down in this pandemic, tell me, "Oh man, I'm so glad I listened to you. I paid everything off." But most people are all leveraged up.
Right, but here's the question: right now, if you look at everything that's going on, we are financing the people who are attacking and destroying us.
Ah, it's terrible.
Okay. Well, I've been talking about this for 20 years.
No, I'm not saying you're terrible. I'm saying that this situation, I believe you.
Here's the thing. It's like having an addiction. Until you face your addiction, there are no solutions. Okay? If you face your addiction, it's what I told you. If we can face it, God can fix it. We are financing, you know, we are financially a codependent in this situation. And we're not going to get out of it by reengineering our personal financial system, our situation by ourselves. I mean, you're going to, first of all, you want to be safe. If they're going to defund the police, let me explain what's going to happen if they defund the police. You have, since World War II, network the United States with organized crime networks. Who do you think runs the narcotics trafficking? Who do you think runs the illegal gambling, the illegal gun running? I mean, that is all completely networked, and you know the money feeds the banking system, and every dime is known. Okay, every wire gets batched and goes through the New York Fed, but that's a highly managed business. Okay. If you defund the police, guess who's going to be the most powerful player in the neighborhood? It's going to be those organized crime networks because they're going to be well-armed, right? Now, let's say you flip the money over to social services. Social services, the last time I checked, and I'm not current on this, but when I left Washington, you had all the big defense contractors running around and getting contracts from social services. Including, you know, the contractor who was sued for sex slave trafficking in Eastern Europe was picking up child support contracts. So if you flip that money over to social services and you've got enough of the defense contractors in there, bam, at high speed, you're going to bring up a Stasi network and they're going to have the police powers under contact tracing, you know, to basically come after your kids. I would like to point out the people who led the launching and presentation for contact tracing and are promoting the contact tracing bill in the federal government. You know, right now it's under state law, were all the people who flew Epstein Air.
Gosh.
It's Bill Clinton. Yeah, we have a great Soleri tune with Alan Dershowitz, and he's got a pin that says Epstein Air. And he's talking about, you know, why, of course, they can come into your home and take your kids, and it's all perfectly legal. Which it's not, but you know, when did the facts ever stop Alan Dershowitz?
How can you fight this? I mean, it's just a pretty bleak picture. Well, let me back up.
How you fight this is stop worrying about the presidential election. Start worrying about your sheriff. Start worrying about
our sheriff is a Democrat communist. They slipped in my county. He said,
"Well, you're going to have to organize and get a real sheriff." I mean, this is going to be trench warfare, and we're going to have to fight it out one county and, you know, one city council at a time.
Wow. Yeah, they got all they pulled a slick one here in North Carolina. The three biggest counties, you know, with Greensboro, Guilford, and Mecklenburg, Charlotte, and then Raleigh-Durham.
Right.
They've got some weasel Democrat who doesn't want to obey, you know, to work with ICE, and they let out where they release criminal aliens, and they're just evil. I mean, they're just evil. They're Democrats. Excuse me, communists. And so
well,
communist globalists. So you're saying we're going to have to fight it out in the trenches.
Right. We're going to have to fight it out in the trenches. Now, I want to talk about the second wave. So the second wave is supposedly going to come in September. But here's what's going to happen in September. Because if you go back, and in fact, I think he lives in North Carolina. There's one of the best authors who's written about the history of vaccinations is Forrest Moretti. And he has a series of books, and he does a masterful job of explaining the game of what, I just did a review for a book called Virus Mania. But let's say, Greg, that you spray pesticides on the farms for agricultural, you know, and it makes everybody sick. If you admit that, then of course you have big liability. The insurance companies lose a lot of money. No good. So instead, you blame a virus, and then you invent a vaccination for the virus, and you give everybody the vaccination. And instead of losing money on the liability, you make money, and you attribute you stop using the pesticide, and you attribute everybody getting well to the vaccination, which isn't true. They stop getting sick because you stop using the pesticide. Okay, so it's an old game, and it's designed to manage your liabilities. Now, why are they saying there's going to be a second wave? Do you know what's going to happen in September, October? They're going to finish getting all the Starlight or Starlink satellites up, and they're going to start turning 5G on, and they're turning it on all over the country. And that's going to, if you look at the history of radically increasing EMF radiation, sort of messing with human electromagnetic fields, that's going to make a lot of people sick, just like the vaccinations or the injections. I won't call them vaccinations because they're not medicine. The injections are going to make people sick, and the 5G is going to make people sick. And they need a cover story because they need for their plans of rolling out digital currencies and rolling out lots of robotics, they need 5G. 5G was invented by the Israelis for crowd control. It's a crowd control technology. It's not really a telecommunications technology. But if you look at all their plans, whether it's driverless cars or digital credit systems to replace the dollar, they need massive bandwidth. And of course, they know it's going to make a lot of people sick. So it wouldn't surprise me if the second wave is the cover story for all the extraordinary damage that's going to be done to our health by the injections. And if you look at the numbers, it's clear that the people who had this year's flu shot were much more likely to get COVID-19 and to suffer from it or die from it.
I've never had a flu. We temporarily lost Catherine Austin Fitz, and now some time has elapsed, and I've got her back on. So this has been a tough interview. It's the most interesting interview I've had probably all year long. And I've had some good ones. I was talking to you about what's going on. We want to get to the fight. You know, what's going on?
Right.
We have two groups in Washington fighting. One of them wants to eject Donald Trump and the Republicans. And that's bad because that at least the Republicans have some semblance of constitution and no gun control and some civil liberties. Tell me what's going on.
So you have greater support, by and large, with congressional members in the Republican Party for small business and independent farms and ranching. So we want to have independent economic means. And so you have more support for that, and critical to maintaining those independent economic means, Greg, is the right to carry firearms. Now, the challenge with firearms is once you load in 5G, you've got crowd control technology and you've got mind control technology with it. So I don't know if you've ever, you know, I always make our subscribers watch The Kingsman and The Cell with John Cusack, these movies that show you how the technology works. And of course, the question is, can gun control stop that kind of technology? It's really a problem because, as you see across America, young people acting as though they were literally captive of cults.
Yeah, I know. So, it's unbelievable. Yeah. And, you know, read the Supreme Court. I mean, you know, John Roberts, he's a complete weasel. And I think a little weasel and Neil Gorsuch, too. But they wouldn't hear 10 cases on open carry. They wouldn't do it. Then they allowed the sanctuary cities to stand because they wouldn't hear the case. And, you know, they decided that people that are of one sex can just say they're another sex.
But let me explain why. Okay, it's very important to understand the Bostak decision. And let me explain this to you.
And Bostak, just so people know, that was somebody that was a case where they said, no, you can't be you can't have male genitalia and say you're a woman and vice versa. Sorry, you don't get a protection for that. And the Supreme Court just changed that. Yep, you can get a protection. You can just say you're a woman or a man. Go ahead.
Right. And so they're applying Title VII of the Civil Rights Act to these issues. And the reality is, it's not clear to me what that's going to mean in terms of practical implication for churches. So, right. You know, remember,
it's frowned upon in the Bible. You know, it says in the Bible, man shouldn't dress up as women shouldn't dress up as men. It says that in the Bible. Go ahead.
Well, but here's the question. Will churches be free to practice their religion? Or, you know, is this going to be used to basically shut down the churches? We've seen COVID-19 used as an excuse. So I'll never forget, there's a great interview with the governor of New Jersey where he's trying to justify why it was okay to keep the liquor stores open, but the churches were non-essential and could be shut down. So there's no doubt there's an attack on, you know, we're engaged here in spiritual warfare. Okay.
Go ahead.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead. You're still rolling.
Sorry. There's somebody at the door here. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so we're engaged in spiritual warfare. But I ask you this simple question.
But here's what you need to understand about the Bostak decision, because this has been happening, and I've tried to explain it. If you look at where we're going with the currency or with the police powers using health as the pretext, what you're talking about, Greg, is reengineering the labor and taxation systems to make them compatible with integrating robots into the workforce. So if I was going to integrate robots into the labor force and the workforce, and I created an independent system of them, independent of the existing human labor force, it would take billions of dollars and many, many years. It would be a very complicated, difficult thing to do. But if I can simply change the human labor and human taxation and human legal systems to integrate not just robots, but combinations of humans, because we're talking about transhumanism now with digital technology and putting digital technology into people. If I can integrate them into one system, you know, I can go much faster. And I think part of the reason they want to put brain-machine interface into humans is literally the winner in the AI system is the guy who has the most data. And the guy who has the most data is the one who's got us all hooked up into the clouds. You know, it's a very gruesome vision, but as an economic matter, it's very practical. Now, to re-engineer those labor systems, you need to pull sex out of it. So I think part of the, you know, of the push for transgender rights has nothing to do with LGBT agendas. That's the pretext. I think they're trying to re-engineer the labor and taxation systems to make them compatible with robotics.
And our weasel judges are in on the take, basically.
Yeah. So if you look at the Masonic networks that have traditionally managed the legal and regulatory systems in the Western world, you know, this is clearly their decision of a practical way to move forward to integrate robotics. And if you if you haven't looked up and studied transhumanism, you really need to do it.
Yes, Steve.
Because we are in a situation where technology makes a whole lot of things possible that you and I would say we're better not doing. Just because we can do it doesn't mean we should do it. The reality is you have a very centralized group of people. They've gotten the technology, and they're moving forward with it at lightning speed. Now, they've been doing that for 50 years, but they've kept a lot of it secret. Now they're coming out of the closet.
Yeah, and so to speak, that's a pun, but that's pretty good. But these people are all, I mean, all the people at all the top, you know, Google, all these people, they're all atheists. They don't read the Bible. They don't know their, they don't know what's in store for them.
So
they don't know.
So here's what I would say. For 400 years, we've had a model of the human, a model of the economy, a model of the planet that's a machine model. And it's fostered great productivity in some ways, but it's become very, very, you know, the model fails because it doesn't reflect how life really works. And to me, what we're watching is the ultimate gasp of a failing model. Because it's produced a culture of people who are very hyper-materialistic, and they literally don't understand life and they don't understand reality. And for them, if you're going to maintain central control in a machine model, you need to stop people from resonating with divine intelligence and resonating with living things and resonating with each other and get everybody hooked into the machine. And that's what this is really about. Are we going to be governed by God? Are we going to be governed by central powers who are controlling us through the machine?
That's profound. Governed by God or governed by central powers. Let's talk about the election a little bit. I got my notes here that I was going to give notes, and now I'm just going to go and ask you about it. I said, is Trump a good guy? And you said, we're better off the Republicans. Because, you know, the Marxist communists are going to take away our gun rights, all of our rights, completely destroy the Constitution. Explain why we're better off with Trump and Republicans.
Right, but I don't think they're Marxist, you know, communists. Because Marxist communist says that they have an ideology that they believe in. What they believe in is central control. So, and they believe that they can use the technology to get central control. I'll never forget, a couple of years ago, I was at the Aspen Institute, and I'd been on a panel with a sort of billionaire type venture capitalist who was very grumpy. And I was talking to him after the panel, and he looked at me sort of with those dead eyes, and he says, you know, basically, sweetie, I buy these companies so I can figure out how to delete all the jobs with AI and software. And the reality is we can do everything on the planet with robots and AI and software, and we don't need any people.
Yeah. Satan's my God.
He's kind of had that look of, you know, honey, I've been up in the spaceship and I know how it is.
Yeah.
And it's a very, again, it's a hyper-materialist view of reality. It's a point of view. And you and I would describe it as this person who's lost.
Yeah. Godless. So, how about a godless egg under the black hole of nothingness? That's who this person is.
I have a lot more empathy for many of these people.
I don't.
They're in a system where if they do what they're told and they follow this path, you know, they have lots of money. They're very successful. And the crowd supports them and admires them.
And they get the black hole of nothingness when it's all over. They're so stupid. They're really stupid. But these are the people that decide that they want the planet to be 500 million, and they get to decide because they have a couple of bucks and they invented a search engine that they think that they should get, you know, total control over the planet. And boy, are they stupid and pompous.
Well, but those guys aren't in control. I mean, they're just the fronts. They're not the principals.
Are we better off with why do they want to get rid of Trump? Why?
So there's a combination of reasons why they want to get rid of Trump. And some, you know, I said to you when Trump first ran that the presidency of the United States is not an entry-level position. And Trump continues to manage things in a way that somebody who's got a lot of experience in government would say is less than ideal. Okay, so we just saw Bolton come out and say that Trump asked Xi Jinping to help him in the election. I don't know if that's true or not, but if he did, you know, that is going to be, if that's corroborated by reliable sources, Bolton not being a reliable source, that's going to be pretty devastating.
People in the room say that didn't happen. Lighthizer said it didn't happen. He was in the room.
Oh, well, that's good.
I mean, he said that didn't happen. I don't see that. Did he want China to buy agricultural project? Yes, that was part of the trade deal.
Right.
And Bolton is a lying weasel.
Yes.
And still thinks the Iraq war was a great idea. He spent trillions of dollars. Even Trump said that. He would never back.
It was a great idea for him. He made money. Yeah, you know, yeah, it was good for him.
Yeah. Anyway, so why do they want to get rid of Trump?
So Trump, so it's a combination of Trump's style, number one, because his style upsets and works up a lot of people. Now, some people like that because what they want is a reality TV show. The other thing is that, you know, Trump is intolerant of certain practices. And the swamp is much deeper and much more ingrained than he thought. I mean, one of the reasons I think you're watching this global reset is the leadership has just decided whether, you know, because this sort of process of trying to out them on Pizzagate and on very significant financial and legal liabilities was pretty scary to them. And if you look at their criminal liabilities, both on the financial fraud and the healthcare fraud and the pedophilia and all this other stuff, the adrenochrome is a very bad, scary story. They just feel that they have too many liabilities to change their ways. So you've got a very deep system of people, both the politicians, the legislators, the bureaucracy, who's deeply addicted to sort of swamp practices and has very extraordinary liabilities, and they're very afraid. And so they're betting the ranch that they can continue to centralize. And, you know, this is World War III. This is what World War III looks like.
So Trump is actually a good figure, although he's flawed. So Trump, you say, was a good figure, and we're better off with the Republicans because of gun control and liberties.
Well, my feeling is because of the Second Amendment and some of the constitutional issues and the need for independent business, I would prefer in all cases to have the Republicans. But I don't pretend to say that, you know, to me, you have two pro-centralization teams. I'm on the decentralization team. So neither of those teams, all, you know, with rare exception, I think you've got some very good legislators who are on the pro-decentralization team. But with those exceptions, the pro-centralization team is not for us, and both of them are going to be bad for us.
You think Trump gets reelected?
I don't know. He can. He can. You know, this campaign is looking to be the dirtiest in history. And so now it's interesting. I have a friend in Tulsa. You know, Trump announced he wanted to do a rally in Tulsa. Within 48 hours, they had 300,000 people sign up to attend the rally.
Now it's a million.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, here's the thing. If you are terrified of contact tracing and terrified of the kind of extraordinarily evil and demonic manipulations that have been used under the pretext of healthcare to destroy Main Street, destroy your business. I mean, I just saw a headline, Greg, two headlines. 85% of the independent restaurants in the United States are expected to shut down by the end of the year.
Yep.
100,000 small businesses have been destroyed in New York so far.
Just New York.
And Kiplinger is saying that by the end of the 2021 budget year, which is June 30, 2021, the combined state and local deficits will be $500 billion. Now, state and local governments are required by law to balance their budget. Do you know what that means is going to be in terms of layoffs or state bankruptcies if McConnell proceeds to allow states to file bankruptcy?
Oh,
this is going to be extraordinary.
Either that or they'd have to just acquire all the wealth in a state and say, we're taking all your wealth so we can keep feeding our machine. But you're talking about 55.
Well, but
you're talking about
50, what I said?
You're talking about $500 billion just for New York. Just for New York.
Oh. Okay.
No. Is that what you're saying? $500 billion. I'm asking you.
500 for all state and local governments.
It's $500 billion.
Of combined state deficits. So
I mean, our governor is I guess he's got a free button on his desk. He doesn't give a crap whether somebody's in business or not. I don't think the cuckoo boy, baby killer Cooper, realizes that you have to have people paying taxes and that fire and police and state workers are suck up taxes.
Well, but let's go back to going direct. If you download nanotechnology in everybody that gives you a brain-machine interface, you don't need state and local government. You can just lock them up into the Jedi cloud at the Department of Defense and manage them directly. That's what going direct means. Just like going direct means you don't need Epstein to launder all the money or all $21 trillion. You can just go direct. If you look at all the different Fed things the Fed is doing now, in fact, that's what they're doing. They're going direct. You're going to cut out all middle management. Here it comes.
Millie and Epstein, Millie and Esper, the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Esper, they walked across the street. They didn't know they were getting a photo op, you treasonous dogs. So you're not worried about the church being burned down across from the White House. You're worried about the photo op. You treasonous weasels. What's up with Epstein and Millie in the military? What's up with them?
Well, here's my question, because in my experience, so the U.S. military has a budget of $738 billion a year. And the U.S. military has, for the last 20 years, $1 trillion a year of undocumentable adjustments on top of that.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at how the money works by state and local, America breaks down into 3,100 counties, Greg. And in my experience, the intelligence agencies and the Department of Justice and the Federal Reserve and the military have every inch under surveillance and controlled. So nothing happens in America in any county that they don't want happening. Okay? They have they got satellites up watching every inch of space. They don't miss a trick. So if you have, so I told you there are 37 Fed locations in the country. If you have violent protests in 33, that's because the Fed either wants that to happen or they're standing down and letting it happen. Remember, the Fed has their own private police force. So if you defund the police in those 37 locations, guess who's going to have the most powerful police force.
Ah, the Fed.
So my question, if you look at how the violent protests popped up, I said this on the Solari report, you had several layers. You had the layer of the kids who just wanted to get out of the house. You had a layer of the infrastructure engineers who are set in to set up the bricks, set up the, the Molotov cocktails, set up all the, if you're going to cause some buildings to burn down, you got to set up the arsons and all that stuff. You had professional organizers, Antifa, BLM, other professional organizers. Then you had a layer of what looked to me like professional mercenaries who were in there to provide air cover for a variety of parties, but also to basically assassinate. If you look at some of the police killings that have been going on, and this has been going on, I'll bet you it's professional mercenary. Now, you can't send in that many teams to that many cities to basically burn and loot and wreck. All on a paid basis. They're paid. Those are paid jobs. That's not going to happen unless the U.S. military either stands down or is part of doing it. Now, I told you when FASB 56 passed that this was secret monies for secret armies. I will bet you any amount of money that those, 50 to 100 protests in American cities were financed by FASB 56. Now, I think one of the reasons the military was being very careful is they don't want to mess with their $738 billion budget by pissing off either side. But the other thing is, if the contracts were negotiated through them or their budget to do those violent protests, when they negotiated the contracts, they didn't imply that they were going to send in military teams to stop you. So imagine if you're a defense contractor, you've negotiated contracts to manage and do the command structure for violent protests in 50 cities, and then suddenly the military announces they're sending in a military team to, you know, to stop you. You know, wouldn't you, you would say, wait a minute, that's not my scope of work, right?
Yeah.
I want 10 times the amount of money, or my guys aren't going in. If I'm a professional mercenary, I'm not going to go in and play that role if you're going to send a military team in to stop me. You know, I'm going to split. Mm-mm-mm. So, you know, we're talking about a reality TV show here. This is not real. Now, I will tell you, if all the people doing the looting had stopped being paid and encouraged and supported doing the looted, they wouldn't have done it. So the question is, what was the military role? Did they stand down, or, you know, were they an active part of doing it? Was it the intelligence agencies? What was the command structure? But I assure you, you can't do anything in America. I mean, imagine, do you think the NSA isn't listening and watching everything? I mean, surely you've seen the movie Enemy of the State. They have the whole country covered, you know, from sea to shining sea by satellites, and you know, they listen to every phone call.
So we don't leave people totally disenfranchised here and depressed, because I'm feeling pretty depressed.
So do me a favor, Greg. Go to Solari, do a search for Gideon, and there's a great interview, I'll send you the link, with Thomas Meyer on the story of Gideon.
Yeah.
And the story of Gideon is my vision of how we win. Because I, you know, what's happening is something is coming to a head that we've been avoiding dealing with since World War II. You know, this is the red button problem that I've talked about for many, many years. And we've all been thinking we can stay in the middle of the road, we can avoid the issue. But when you allow lawlessness to grow and grow and grow, it's going to keep eating. You know, it's what George Patton said. He said, if you let the skunks get under the house, they'll take over. Have you seen the TV series Yellowstone?
Yeah, no. It started out with them shooting a horse or something, and I just, you know, so much cursing and all that. So, no, I don't watch it, so.
Well, there are two guys named the Beck brothers who are the bad guys.
Yeah.
And the big issue is, how are we, you know, we're going to be forced to finally deal with the Beck guys, because the Beck guys have been getting away with murder for years, and they just keep getting worse. So I said to everybody when we did the annual wrap up, I said, you know, the question of 2020 is going to be, okay, you know, how are we going to deal with the Beck brothers? Because this time, you know, they may kill us all. So if you read the story of Gideon in the Bible, what it reminds you is you don't need a lot of people, but one of the things you need to do is you need to bring transparency, and then you need to remind everybody, you know, we have a God, we have a governor, you know, we have to choose. Do we want to be part of a divine intelligence, or do we want to be controlled by a machine intelligence and be hooked up to the DOD Jedi contract with brain machine interface and mind controlled? We have a choice. We don't have to accept slavery. So I think this can absolutely be turned around, but we're going to have to stand, and we're going to have to fight. It's like Nehemiah. Remember, they had to build the wall, and you know, they had a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other.
Don't take the vaccine. It's not a medical thing. Do not take the vaccine.
First of all, don't call it.
Oh, do not take the phony vaccine.
Do not call it a vaccine, and I'll tell you why. Under the law, vaccines are free from liability.
That's right, in 2005.
So they can implement massive amounts of experimental stuff, putting aborted fetal tissue, heavy metals,
no recourse.
Altering, no recourse, no liability. So don't call it that, because all that law is supposed to be for medicine, okay? And so I won't call it a vaccine, because it's an injection fraud. So they, you know, if we can stop calling it a vaccine, we're working on coming up with another name. John Rappaport calls it CyberVax. One person wrote me and said we ought to call it Windows 1984. Which I thought was funny. So, but read my article on the injection fraud and it'll explain it. We have to take that protection of criminal and civil liability away from them. They need to be held liable. And if you look at the harm that, these injections could do, they could kill a lot of people, Greg, and that could bankrupt a lot of pharmaceutical companies if they don't have protection.
Yeah. So don't take the crap they want to inject you with, and with that they're calling a vaccine.
Right. And, you need to get to know your sheriff and your local enforcement. Do not defund your local police.
Yeah. I know. And people, it's so important for our Democrat weasel sheriff who had to get it, supposedly, he had to get a waiver so he could carry a firearm because he couldn't carry one. So the sheriff's is very important. And the Democrats knew that. They pulled a slick thing last election. Right. The globalist, the thing, communist, you, Marxist, whatever, pick one.
If you can have a way to work with the small business and small farmers in your area and start to network and organize, how are we going to be safe? How are we going to have energy? How are we going to have fresh, healthy food? All of these are jobs that can be brought back in the community if we start to talk to each other and organize. There's a lot of capital and a lot of intelligence, but we're going to have to decide we need to have these independent sources, and we're going to protect them.
Catherine Austin Fitz, there's a free article on the website called Injection Fraud, which you've been talking about, right, and lays it out right in very good terms. It's much more involved, I'm sure. State of Our Currency is for subscribers. You have your beautiful...
Right, and we're coming out with a final report, and it's a doozy. It'll be out. It'll go to the printer at the end of the month, and then we'll have it out. It's sometime in July.
Your reports are so long. Could you come on and just give us a brief when it comes on? I'd love to have you on. I tell people I can't cover everything, and your reports are like that, and they're very heady, and they're very well done.
Here's the thing. But COVID-19 is a currency war. It's the global reset.
They're trying to bankrupt people to take their stuff.
Well, it's a re-engineering. Yeah, that's part of it. But you put everybody in a debt trap. So including the emerging markets, because remember, Europe can print the money that its debt is dominated in, and the United States can, but the emerging markets, to the extent it's borrowed in dollars and euros, can't. So, you're kind of putting the bricks back in the debt trap. Anyway, but the state of currency, once you understand COVID-19 as part of a currency war, everything makes much more sense. It's very good. It sort of integrates the whole thing.
That is, you are the publisher of the Solari Report on Solari.com. Catherine Austin Fitz, thank you. When you come out with your wrap up on currency, the state of currency, please come on and give us at least a little bit. I'm sure people would, could become a subscriber to you. You put a lot of work into it. It's very well done. It's way better than my website. But thank you for coming on.
No.
Catherine Austin Fitz, thank you for joining me today on USA Watchdog.
Have a great day.
Yes, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
My head is like... But anyway, thank you, because I'd rather be forewarned and forearmed than to be stupid.
And I said it.
So.
And I said it last time. I'll say it again. I've said it the last couple times I'm on. Gold will have a good year. And you can tell why.
Yeah. Well, all the big players are going to buy gold. They're not stupid. I mean, come on, these people aren't stupid. They want you to think this is a relic that's no good while they are buying it all. So, whatever. Anyway, Catherine, thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
Bye, Greg.
DefineSelf.com.